It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
We have an important topic today, and it's homelessness. And homelessness is a problem that cities across America are grappling with. We read in the news about San Francisco, where they have homeless people living on the streets and defecating on the streets, and they actually have poop squads. And in cities like Nashville, across the South, we also have homeless camps that develop very quickly, and we have a problem in our downtown areas where there are panhandlers. Some of them are not actually homeless. Sometimes they're people, you know, who are professional panhandlers. Joining me today to make sense of all of this and hopefully to give us some recommendations as to what cities like Nashville can do is Dr. Ron Martinelli. And Dr. Ron Martinelli is a retired police detective who now works as a forensic criminologist at agencies across the country, including for the federal government. Let's welcome Ron to the Be the People show.
Well, thank you, Dr. Swain. I appreciate the invitation to be on your show and share my insight into the homeless population nationwide and specifically in Nashville, where I was just there a couple of weeks ago.
So tell me, what did you notice about Nashville while you were here?
Well, I noticed a lot of things about Nashville. I've seen Nashville demonstrably change over the past 5 years, and there's good things and not so good things about Nashville. Number one, it is one of the growing demographically. It's one of the fastest growing cities in the country. And everybody, I mean, what's not to like about the reputation, historic reputation of Nashville? Country Western music is there. There is tremendous growth right now in the downtown area. And just like San Diego, which I expert for and I spent a lot of time there, you're going vertical, okay, which means that you're getting a lot of very expensive high-rise condominiums and business projects being built in what I would refer to is the core area of Nashville. About 100 people a day move into Nashville from all over the country.
That's
and
right.
As a result of that, though, and as a result of that success, you're going to have some socio-criminal problems, and homelessness is one of those problems that you're going to have, and also your crime rate is rising as a result. So there's many issues that we can talk about specifically to Nashville that relate to every place else, large urban cities in the United States.
Well, I can tell you that Nashville was not built as far as its infrastructure for the kind of growth that we've been having. And you talk about the vertical growth, the fact that we have a number of high-rise buildings. The firefighters don't have the equipment or the manpower to handle an emergency situation if it were to occur in one of the high-rises and it involved, you know, like their fire equipment. They don't have a ladder that would reach, you know, the highest windows. And
right.
So there's some other things that we have not, we're not equipped to handle. And we have police shortages. You may know about that we're probably...
Quite a bit about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe we're 130 officers, Dan. And the homelessness problem is a big problem. And as a consequence, there are people, you know, who move to the region. A few years ago, 100 people a day were moving to Nashville. Now, a lot of those people are moving to Nashville suburbs because, you know, the quality of life, I would say, in Nashville is somewhat declining.
Well, yeah, you've raised, you know, several issues. First of all, let's talk about first responder issues. And you started out talking about the fire department isn't properly equipped to adapt to the new high-rise growth. What happens with city fathers is they do a lot of feel-good legislation, and they want to make money. And of course, these projects create a huge tax revenue for them. But what they never do, or rarely do they do, is reach out and do what we refer to as participatory management and bring in the first responders, bring in the fire department, bring in the subject matter experts in firefighting, and bring in the policing experts, and also, you know, bring in forensic criminologists and people that are looking to the future and have done a lot of research in downtown areas. And if you don't do that, what's created is some of the problems that I see right now in Nashville.
Well, let me ask you this. No, that was not done, and we don't do it, but are there any cities that do?
Yeah, there are a number of cities that do that. A great example of a city that does that is actually three cities that I could name right off the bat. San Francisco. I know a lot about San Francisco. I was born and initially raised there. I did my entire police career in the San Francisco Bay Area. That's one. Los Angeles, and also New York City. Now, what is, and also San Diego. So what is noticeable about all those areas is they all are vertical growth cities. That means that you only have a certain amount of area in the core downtown, and you can't spread out like you could in the suburbs, so you have to go vertical. But when you go vertical, like you said, Carol, the fire department has to go up there and fight fires at those levels. Look at what happened on 9/11, where we had, you know, buildings in the Twin Towers, which are 104 stories high, and the fire department, there was no way that they could get up there. So that's just one issue.
Well, the thing too with Nashville, we have focused on the downtown core, but there's plenty of, you know, land in Davidson County that surrounds Nashville, that's part of metropolitan Nashville, that hasn't developed. And so the growth pattern is sort of concentrated, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah, you know, but Carol, here's also part of the problem. City fathers and everything, city councils have to do demographic research. In other words, they have to figure out, why are people coming to Nashville? Why are they?
Well, they're coming to Nashville because we are doing everything we can to attract them and the businesses.
Yeah, but what kind of businesses do you have downtown that draws hundreds of thousands and maybe millions of people a year? What do you have? What's the one thing that Nashville sells that people come to Nashville for?
I think the entertainment industry, and now downtown, you know, we were supposed to be the it city. It's, you know, it's bars and pedal bars and tractor bars, and it's a lot of bachelorette parties, and that's one of the big attractions.
Exactly. And these days you have upwardly mobile people, people that are making good income, and you've got millennium generation people, and they don't want to travel. They move to Nashville. They move to the Nashville, Tennessee area. They tend to want things pretty close to them. And so the entertainment industry is the draw from all those groups that you just talked about. So would you rather drive 20 or 30 miles to get there, or would you rather walk there? And so that's why you're having all these condominium projects going up there. And you also have venture capitalists that are buying condos and things there because they know that there's a lot of women coming in for bachelorette parties. There's a lot of big groups that come in there. Nashville is actually taking the market share, especially during spring break, from Daytona, Florida, and Pensacola, and areas like that. Instead of going down to Florida and going on the beach, they're coming to Nashville because of the entertainment industry. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, and for people who live in San Francisco, New York, and Los Angeles, Nashville is so affordable, even though for the average Nashvillian, like in Nashville, the cost of living is such that you would need $80,000 a year to live comfortably. The average Nashvillian earns $50,000 a year. So what has happened is that the city has become unaffordable for a lot of people who grew up here, who have lived and worked in Nashville, it has become quite unaffordable for some of the natives, but the new people coming in are flush with cash.
Right. And so look at that. And so you got to follow the money on these issues. And so when you follow the money and you just go downtown and look at what is happening down in downtown Nashville, and I've seen it change demonstrably over the past 5 years. This year was really a significant change that I noticed. You're going to have people that want some of that money. And that's where some of the homeless issues emanate from. Okay. And it isn't just homeless. You've named it, that live in the downtown core area, but there are people that are the fake homeless that come from out of the area, but they come into downtown Nashville because they know that there's money there. They know that there's young people there. They know that there's money there. They know that there's gullible tourists there. And that's where they set up their begging stands and stations. And actually, they actually mark off territory from themselves.
Well, I mean, I believe all of that, and I've been told by the police that there are about 35 people that are known to them. One of them, they have a nickname for, apparently if people don't give him money, he's been known to urinate on them or near them. But they have been kind of ordered not to move them. It's almost like a stand-down order.
Well, you know, okay, so let's talk about, if you'd like, I can talk about that issue, which are the politics of homelessness. I mean, we can also talk about who are the homeless, because that's one of the biggest deals. People are ignorant. People that are decision makers, judges, district attorneys, chiefs of police, mayor, city council people are fairly ignorant about who the homeless are. So there's many components, many different types of people that comprise the quote homeless population. And by the way, it's not only a homeless population, but politically and economically, it's become a homeless industry. And you probably never heard anybody talk about it like that before.
No,
and it's actually an industry.
I want you to hold that thought. We're going to take a brief break, and when we return, I want you to unpack all of that for us.
Are you wondering what we can do about immigration? Then get your copy of my newly released book, Debating Immigration, the second edition, available at Amazon, Cambridge University Press, and all major booksellers.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, Ron Martinelli, and we're talking about Nashville, homelessness, but in the broader sense of how it affects our nation. And so Ron is going to unpack, you know, who are the homeless and what are the politics, and maybe we can get him to tell us what can be done about it.
Well, those are all good things that I think I could handle in this program today. I'm going to try to be succinct in how I describe it. So let's talk about who the homeless are. They're who the homeless are and who the homeless aren't, okay? So first of all, there are the valid homeless. These are the real homeless people. And so what you have is a tremendous amount of people that are impoverished. And they're generally impoverished for a couple of reasons. Number one, they've made very poor life decisions when they were younger and then also currently. And as a result of that, they find themselves down and out. They find themselves indigent. There are the mental health homeless. This is a huge problem, not only in Nashville, but nationally. The United States government has done, and our Congress have done, a horrible job in our special relationship with the mentally ill. In every single state, you will find generally the mental health programs are a total shambles. They either don't exist at all, or they just exist piecemeal. There's no continuity to it. There's very little funding for it. People are not well trained. And so we have people that are gravely disabled, which means that they really can't take care of themselves. They're a danger to other people, or they're a danger themselves. Every state has a welfare and institutions code, or a health and safety code, or some sort of statute that protects people that have mental health problems and the citizens, because we do have a community has a special relationship with people that are unable for one reason or another, this case is mental disorders, to take care of themselves. And Tennessee and Nashville are two of those areas and entities that do an atrocious job in taking care of the homeless.
Why do you think that's the case?
Yeah, they don't want to, first of all, they don't take the time to understand it. And when you don't understand it, you're reluctant to fund it. They don't know how to fund it. But number two, the other people that we put in charge of the rule of law, judges and district attorneys and things, but especially judges, a tremendous responsibility is theirs, and ownership is theirs of this problem, because they believe, or they've ruled, that people that have the mental disorders, they have constitutional rights. We're not declining the constitutional rights, but at some point you have to balance the constitutional rights of people that are unable to take care of themselves, or a danger to themselves and others, and are gravely disabled, which are a small minority, and you have to balance that against the public safety, health and safety of the vast majority, which are people like you and me. And as a police officer, as a detective, as a forensic criminologist, I deal with these issues. I've dealt with these issues my entire career. Kara, let me just explain something to you. I do a lot of officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths. About 90% of my practice is that. 80% of that 90% involves a person with severe mental health problems that it should never have been in the street. They should have been institutionalized and taken care of there.
But
okay,
Ron,
so that and why? I'm sorry, why do we have those problems? Because they are not under psychotropic medications, which are mood-altering medications that would allow them a state of normality where they would be able to do simple tasks and take care of themselves and keep them calm. But the courts have ruled that it's almost impossible to force them to take medication, right? And the only way that you can make them take medications is if they are gravely disabled, to institutionalize them.
Well,
and we can create good institutions that take care of these people, just like hospitals. They don't have to be prisons.
Well, I mean, I have a sister that has mental issues, and it's been problematic getting her to take her medicine. And I think there now is an arrangement where someone comes to the house and they give the medicine to her, and so she takes it and she's doing better.
Well, that's a great example of what we're talking about. Another component that we see nationally, and I saw a lot of this in downtown Nashville, are people that are the drug addicted. As a matter of fact, when I was there a couple of weeks ago, I saw more than one homeless person with a sign that said, "Who's kidding who? I need weed, or I need meth, or
right.
I need heroin." I mean, I actually saw signs like that. I should have taken a picture of it. All right. But again, in most states, we have a welfare and institution or health and safety code that says that if a person is habitually intoxicated or habitually under the influence, such as a drug addiction, that we can take them into involuntary commitment for a period of 90 days so that we can dry these people out. All right? But we don't enforce that, because the ACLU comes in and tries to file a lawsuit against a jurisdiction to keep that from happening. And so when you cannot help people, because addicted people were the first people who are going to tell you they need help,
right?
And they can't do it by themselves. That's why they're addicted, because they're constantly self-medicating. And when they do that, of course, there's ancillary crime that occurs, because you got to have, once you develop a certain tolerance for a drug like heroin or meth or whatever, you need it every single day. You need it several times a day. And of course, you're not working, and you can only beg so much money. So then you got to do crimes of opportunities like thefts and robberies and things like that.
Now, I have a brother who is in a 2-year program that's like a drug rehabilitation program, and it's a voluntary program. In fact, he could walk away anytime, and it allows them to work. But it seems like if you could be in a program like that, and first you have to want to be there. And he was in his 40s when he watched people dying around him, and it was just, that was his wake-up moment. And he's gone into that program. He's earned certificates for air conditioning repair and several different vocational jobs he has certificates for. When he graduates in 24 months, he will be given money that he would have earned working outside the facility for the last 6 months of his residency. It is an amazing program in North Carolina called TROSA.
That's exactly the type of program that we need to have in Nashville and also nationally. We have to have some authority. Law enforcement, mental health professionals have got to have some authority to help the people that either can't help themselves or refuse to help themselves. And there also needs to be an enforcement component of this, because everything we've got are behavioral issues, Carol. They're behavioral issues. And unless you can modify behavior and mitigate bad behavior, then you empower and enable that behavior, and your homeless problem only gets worse. And when you have problems like that, and law enforcement are stymied, they're handcuffed, they have bad morale, they leave the department before they would normally leave, and all the money that the people of the city of Nashville have spent to train them and give them these job skills, they're going to take those skill sets and they're going to go elsewhere where they can be appreciated. When police don't feel that they're appreciated, when they're stymied in doing their job of protecting the rule of law and protecting people and enforcement, then they're going to leave. Why would you stay? And that's one of the big problems.
I think we took a shift that I lost something, because we were talking about the homelessness problem and why what needs to be done. How does that connect with the police? And I want to take another break. And when I return for our last segment, I want you to tie that up.
There are speakers, and then there are great speakers who know the importance of creating that memorable moment. Well, the key to any successful event is an informative and inspirational speaker. Professor Dr. Carol Swain is that gifted speaker. She delivers passionately from the heart every time. To find out more about booking Carol for your next great event, simply go to carolmswain.com. Click on Public Speaking and then click the blue Book Carol tab.
You're listening to the Be the People show, and I'm with my guest, Dr. Ron Martinelli, and he's going to tell us about how the homelessness problem impacts police officers.
Well, thanks for having me back, Carol. Listen, there is and I know you felt we took a shift, and maybe I took a left turn here, but here's what I want to bring up to you and your listeners. There is a symbiotic relationship between everything that happens in Nashville and policing. Okay, so all of these different components of public safety, of health and safety, of policing, they're all bound together. There is all a relationship. And so the law enforcement people go into law enforcement because they want to make things better. It's a community service. It's not just a job, it's a community service, it's a calling. And when these people are treated, meaning the law enforcement officers, because of the courts, because of the litigation, because of the attitudes of an ignorant public that don't understand policing, we don't understand the rule of law. Kids are not taught civics anymore in school. They don't even know what police officers are for. And the police officers see these problems because they're boots on the ground. They're on the street. They're talking with these people. They're dealing with these issues. When they are stymied, when they're obstructed, when they're precluded from doing what they need to do to protect the public,
yes,
health and safety-wise, they're going to go someplace else.
Well,
because
Ron,
Go ahead.
We do have that problem in Nashville. We're probably about 130 officers down, and so there's a poor morale problem. Some of it's related to an oversight board that was put in place, but a lot of it has to do with what I would describe as poor leadership from the top. And the police, when it comes to homelessness in Nashville, they feel like what needs to be done isn't being done because they have orders pretty much to stand down.
Right, that's exactly right. So you can imagine, Carol, how frustrating that is. When you go into law enforcement as a calling to provide a community service and you're prevented, you're obstructed from doing that, it becomes very frustrating. And so these cops today are not stupid, okay? They know that they're young, they have a marketable job skill, and they're gonna go to some other town. They're gonna move horizontally, and they're gonna go to some other town or some other state that resonates and supports law enforcement. And whether the leadership problems are from the city council or whether they're from the police department, chief of police, commissioners, people like that, they don't care. All they care about is, am I able to do my job? Do people appreciate what I do, or do they not? Now, here's another problem that you have in Nashville. By the way, when I was there, I love to hang out with cops and detectives and everything, and I like to find out what their work is all about, where's your pain, is what I always ask them. How do you like your job? Where's your pain? And they're telling us that, I had a couple of detectives recently who are extremely experienced detectives. They are at the retirement age, and they told me that when their retirement date comes up, they're leaving. They're not staying around. They said, we could easily stay for another 4 and 5 years, and normally we would do that. But now the department and the atmosphere of the city and the environment, the work environment, has changed so much, and this is all a result of a lack of leadership. They're leaving.
Well,
and so they're not going to get replaced with people that have that level of experience that they do.
Well, I don't want to talk a lot about myself, but I am a candidate for mayor of Nashville, and what I have done over the past 4 or 5 weeks is visit the roll calls, the 6:30 a.m. where they do the shift changes, 6:30 a.m., 2:30 p.m., 10:30 p.m. and roll calls. I've spoken with the officers. I've done a ride along, and that sort of refreshes a criminal justice degree that I got when I was an undergraduate. So I really care about law enforcement, and I'm looking at Nashville and its homelessness issues and the problem of morale in the police department. And so, Ron, I'd like to do at some point another show with you about policing and which department you think had the best procedures for quality of life for police officers.
Well, sure, I'd be happy to do that.
And we're coming to the end of this interview, and I'd like for you to share with our listeners anything you'd like to share about yourself and how they can contact you.
Well, thanks, Carol. Listen, I'm pretty easily Googled at Dr. Ron Martinelli and Martinelli & Associates Justice and Forensic Consultants, and we're based out of the state of Texas and California. We've got a national footprint. We have the only multidisciplinary forensic death investigations team in the nation. We can do everything the FBI can do. Got our own labs, every area of crime, homicide, corrections, forensics, you name it. So we do great, and I'm blessed to be working with the most amazing men and women. I'd like to thank you for inviting me to your program, and I sure would enjoy coming back.
Thank you, Ron. And for the listeners, You know, the sign-off. It's up to us. We the people must be the people who change our nation and our world. And that starts with our cities. Until next time.